Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين. All unqualified praise is due to Allah, and after that all unqualified praise is due to Allah. الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن التقويم, created the human being in the most excellent mode, and who sent down upon us his book most clear. وَكَانَ أَخْرُ مَا نَزَلَ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ, and revealed in his last ayah, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَةً وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامِ الدِّينِ. This day have I completed my favor upon you, completed for you your way of life, and have perfected my favor upon you, and have preferred for you al-Islam as your way of life. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that there is no object of worship except Allah. Lahul mulk. His is the kingdom. Wa lahul hamd. To him is due all unqualified praise. Bi yadihi al-khayr. In his hand is all good. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. And he has power over all things. ونشهدوا أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله. We bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment, that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave servant, his last and final prophet. We say, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala sayyidina Muhammad. O Allah, send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, wa ala alihi, and upon his family, wa sahbihi, and his companions, ajma'in, wa ya ayyuha al-muslimun, and to you, O Muslims, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala barakatuh. Wa Ramadan mubarak, wa Jumu'ah mubarak, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Such a blessing, Jumu'ah and Ramadan. Blessed, 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 alhamdulillah. Wa a'udhu billahi amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you as it was prescribed on those before you, that you may learn to be regardful. A hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, reported that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there is none among you with whom there is not attached a jinn. They said, O Allah's Messenger, with you too, Thereupon he said, yes, but Allah helps me against him, and so I am safe from his hand, and he does not command me but to do good, but for good. Alhamdulillah, let me explain the reconfiguration here. When the Rasham is there, then that sets the line for how many people, how many ranks can be prayed outside, because we have people outside in the backyard who are there for Jumu'ah right now. And it's the tradition is that you don't pray in front of the imam. We don't have to enter into the debate about, well, what about at the Kaaba? Well, this ain't the Kaaba. We'll just put it like that, okay? In any case, when we come here, it cuts the line, it moves the line forward outside because there's concrete when it comes back to the wall. So you lose a little space for sajda back there. So I think we may have added maybe one or two ranks, and ultimately we're going to work it out perhaps where if we can add another line here, I'm not sure. But the configuration probably still calls for it to stay like this based on movement this way and that way. So that's why. And then up here, being up here, that's what qualifies that. And also, alhamdulillah, I don't have to wear that face mask when I'm up here. I look like wearing a hazmat suit, giving a khutbah. So, alhamdulillah. So, so that explains where we are on that. Okay. So to continue the subject. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, he's saying that fasting has been prescribed for you. It's been prescribed for you. When a prescription, I know that's the English, but kutiba says written upon you. It's written upon, kutiba alaykum is written upon you. A translation, prescribed, and that's acceptable as a translation. And therefore, we can draw further meaning from that idea, the word of prescription, because what is intended by it is the same, first, simple, direct. It's a medicine for you. It's a medicine for you. You ask anybody about fat. In fact, it don't matter. When I was having an interaction with my doctor, you know, you have on the, they have these Zoom meetings. Most times, you know, you have a choice where you can go in the office or you can do a, whatever, video. So I was having a video meeting with him. And so, he's asking me about blood pressure and those things that they're supposed to ask you about. And so then I just happened to mention to him, you know, that I was fasting. He said, oh, very good. Yes, fasting is good for you, right? So, and most people in the world know that fasting is for you. But then also people are rather extending that. People who are very health conscious, they are particularly enthused about the fact that and aware of the fact that, yes, fasting is a good practice, even though for them, the ones that I'm referencing right now, it has no relevance to them for as far as religion is concerned, though there are those who fast for religious purposes who are not, quote-unquote, religious people. Sometimes we have to cover these things because we don't want people to think that we're unconscious of these things, right? You have those people that say, you know, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. Whatever that means, okay? You know, you've heard it enough to say, okay, well, whatever it means, I get it. And mashallah, live your life. And all of that to say that there's a recognized physical, secular, how do you say, non-ritual religious reason that people understand that there's health benefits in fasting. Okay, so to understand this prescription as it is translated, this khutbah translated as prescription, it brings that whole world of ideas into the conversation. It's a prescription. All right, well, if it's a prescription, prescriptions are given for particular conditions. Prescriptions are given for particular conditions. Next question. What condition is fasting prescribed for us now, as God said, as it was prescribed for those before your time? Why was it prescribed? He's saying, you're not the first ones that I prescribed this for. I prescribed this for people before you. So then the condition must have existed before us, and the condition must exist with us. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I prescribed it for you just like I prescribed it for the people before you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, just like when a doctor does give you a prescription, they say, I need you to take some of this because this will do that. I need you to take some of that because that will do this. So the prescription is designed to have a particular effect on some aspect of your health. All right? Well, it's no different. No different for fasting amongst us as Muslims as we are, mashallah. So if prescriptions are written for particular conditions, then what condition is fasting prescribed for? And I say it's the human condition. The human condition. Alhamdulillah, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to go on. I'll make this statement. But if we can grasp what we have to say, and if Allah bless us to say it properly and clearly, it can make all the difference in your life. The way you walk around, the way you think, the way you feel, the way you act, it can and will make a difference, I believe, if you incorporate it. I know I'm sharing with you, you know, from myself. Sometimes we say in the beginning of our khutbah, it says, Ya ibadullah, usiyukum wa nafsi awa bitaqullaha ta'ala wa ta'atihi. I advise you, but I first advise myself to be regardful of Allah and to obey him. So I'm speaking to you from, it definitely works for me, and I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. So it's the human condition, the human condition. Who's in the human condition? All human beings. All human beings. Infants are in the human condition. Quote, unquote, teenagers are in the human condition. Adult males, adult females, all around. We are all in the human condition. We're in the human condition because we're living. And life has a totality of influences, consequences, realities that we all are in. Anybody living is in them. Anybody living is in them. And everybody living is impacted by and being influenced in some way by the nature of life. Animals are being affected by the nature of life. Plants are being affected by the nature of life. Minerals are being affected by the nature of life. Human beings are being affected by the nature of life. And all human beings are in different circumstances at different times, et cetera, et cetera. So when I say the human condition, I want you to understand and to take it as universal. It is universal. So this human condition, a verse that does it for me is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتِ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ الْعَامِلَ. He is the one who created the death and the life. Get this. The death and the life, right? Death is something that's inevitable. It's going to happen to all of us. Life, mashallah, in this world is what we have right now, right? So you have life, death, and then after death, life continues because we believe in life after death. But everybody between birth and death is in the human condition. And what is the human condition? Allah described it when he said, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ الْعَامِلَ. The human condition is that you're just being tested. We are just being tested. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he drew a picture of a rectangle, and he drew a line from the bottom of the rectangle up to its top, and then cross-hatching lines over that center line. And he told those with him, he said, this is man. The outer box is death. The line that goes outside the box is his desire. And the cross-hatching lines are the trials and tribulations of life. He says that if any one of these lines fails to get him, there's one that will not fail to get him. And, of course, he's talking about death. That line, like you'll go through what you go through in this world, and if you're not overcome by those trials, ultimately death is going to be the end for all of us. That is the human condition. That is the human. What is the human condition? Trial. Now, y'all, it's not when you say trial, it's trial and tribulation. No, it's trial. And when you want to look, you look at those little cross-hatching lines, the lines in the space, line in the space, line in the space, line in the space, all the way to the end, read it like this. Ostri yustra, ostri yustra, ostri yustra. Difficulty, relief. Difficulty, ease. Look back at your life and say, no, my life hasn't been like that. Yeah, your life has been like that. My life has been like that. All lives of human beings are like that. You have days of difficulty. You have days of ease. You have circumstances that challenge you and circumstances that comfort you, secure you, satisfy you, please you. That's life. For how long? Till you die. Now, in the midst of all of that, in the midst of all of that is the fact that you, now speaking to you, I, when I say you, I mean me, we're all the same. It is yourself that's going through all of that. And I say yourself, but I actually mean you, because you are enough. You are enough. We are enough. We are enough in totality, one. And we are a nefs individually. You are a nefs, and we are a total nefs. Nefsun wahidatin, ma khalakakum wa ba'athakum illa ka nefsun wahidat. Allah says in the Quran, it says your creation and your resurrection is in no wise except as one soul. So we are a part of one soul, though we feel and see our separateness, but we are, the language is, intrapsychically connected. We're connected internally, right? Your pain, I can feel your pain. Your happiness, I can feel your happiness. And you the same for me, et cetera. So we connect in that way. But now each one of us as individuals, we are going through our various quote-unquote trials, or osri, yusra, et cetera. And each one of us has to succeed in that journey on our own. Now, go back to the statement, the oft-repeated and very important statement, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم. This day have I perfected, I completed for you your way of life, and have perfected my favor upon you, and I prefer for you al-Islam as a way of life. Okay, human condition. So we're in the human condition. So that means everybody living has to make this trek. Now, some people have guidance and help and instruction and information as to how to make the journey. Others are not guided. They don't know. What do I do now? What do I do now? And what do I do now? Things come up with their families. Things come up with their wives, with their husbands, with their children, with their jobs, with their careers, whatever, in the society, in the culture, et cetera. There are some people, like right now, there are people who are absolutely, they would otherwise not go crazy. They would quote, listen to what I'm saying. They are otherwise normal people. I know the problems with that word normal, but let's work with it for right now, okay? They're otherwise not, but then when you bring in all of what the world has brought in now, just speaking of the quote unquote the health mandates as presented, then impact on employment, impact on family, impact on socialization. A normal person who has all these disconnects coming about and all these complications coming in, normal people are going insane. So to the extent that our population is filled with people who have no guidance, that makes the situation dangerous. Have you noticed how people drive? I hate paying them high insurance fees, but I certainly understand why. You probably going to have an accident where you live. And you don't have to be at fault. But let's move past that because I have some sentiments flowing around that. Okay, the point in essence is going back to, okay, what is our benefit? How are we blessed? And I hope you see it. El yawma akmaltu lakum, God is saying, what I've done for you is you don't have to get all discombobulated. You don't have to get all undone no matter what happens, because I have given you a way of life that's absolutely compatible with your human condition. It's as though, metaphor, it's as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the map to the minefield. Allah gave us a map to the minefield. So we don't have to walk through this life's minefield without knowing that, no, don't stop there. You need to move a little more to the left. Okay, now go straight. Well, don't stop. You need to move a little more to the right. Now, if you step on that, you're going to get blew up. And then the Quran tells us, don't follow khutwa shaitan. Don't follow the footsteps of Satan, because Satan will lead you right to the mine. Oh, yeah, that's good. Don't you see that? See if your foot fit on that right there. I mean, it's not funny, but that's the situation that we're facing. All right. So the thing to, and this is Allah's perfect favor. So the thing to tie what we're focusing on right now is that to each of you is attached a jinn. And what I want you to have in mind is where Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says when Ramadan begins, the gates of heaven are open, the gates of hellfire are closed, and the devils are put in chains. The devils are put in chains. And so naturally you would have to think that, okay, if the devil is put in chains, then that means that there shouldn't be any evil going on. That's the first reading from that you would take. You say, okay, devil's put in chains, so everything should be good. But we know that's not the case. All you got to do is look at the headlines, and you can see what that is. So the reconciliation of that is to get a better understanding of the devil being put in chains. And, quote, unquote, the devil, for our understanding, it begins with the jinn. Most of us know that Iblis was the one who became Shaytan after he refused to bow to Adam as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered and as all the angels did. And so Iblis, from that point and in that moment, he became Shaytan. But he's only indicative, he's only an archetype of the potential that's in all of us, which you're going to say more about as we continue. So he's only a type. We won't get to it today. I don't expect to, but I'll mention it in passing so I can connect you with it. Go look at 38, 37, Surah Al-Saff. And Ayah 37 is speaking about Suleiman, alayhi salatu wasalam. And most of us, especially the Yusuf Ali readers, most of us have read that Suleiman used the evil ones as divers. The evil ones, that's how Yusuf Ali translates it. Then go look at the Arabic. When you look at the Arabic, it's the shayatan, the shayateen, to be formal, the shayateen, which is just plural, in grammatically speaking. So, okay, so you mean Suleiman used the devil? Let's move on. When you understand there's a correlation between the jinn and shaitan, and that there is not only one shaitan, shayateen, plural, okay? So it's not thinking, well, you got to watch out for the devil. No, you got to watch out for some devils. MashaAllah. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he starts us in understanding that. He says, "There's not one among you whom is not attached to a jinn." This means that the jinn is, and I think that for this portion of the khutbah, and we, as far as we're going to be able to go, we can get started in this idea. The idea is the jinn is carnate. Now, you think about two words, carnate and innate. Carnate and innate. Muslims, we don't believe in the doctrine of original sin. We don't believe in the idea that human beings are sinful by nature. That's a formal doctrine in Trinitarian Christianity particularly, and it's been established in their thinking, in their theology, in their idea, in the world, that man is sinful by nature, and all the other narrative that goes around that. Al-Fatiha, when it addresses the Dalin, it's understood at large among the Muslims and the scholars that the Dalin are the Christians. The Dalin are the Christians. And what does Dalin mean? You were headed in a certain direction, but then you went off target. You missed what you were aiming at. And so, therefore, you went astray. So the point is that there are ideas in Christianity. Their intention is the right intention. And the only thing wrong, or the main thing is wrong, Allah knows best, is their definitions, their descriptions, how you are therefore supposed to behave. Since we say this, then therefore you have to do that. That's where the mistake comes in. Let's speak to this with regard to the jinn and with regard to sin. That is that the carnate innate is the subtlety that separates that. The Prophet just said that there's not one of you, but that there's a jinn attached to them. All right. So is the jinn inside with that picture, or is the jinn outside? The jinn is outside. That's to give us the understanding that you are not born with a sinful nature. In fact, the Quran clarifies it so much more, where it says, وَالنَّفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَاهَا فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَهَا مَنْ زَكَاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَاهَا. By the soul and the proportionate order given to it and its enlightenment. The soul is created enlightened. And even with Adam, عَلَّمَا Adam الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Adam is a type of the human nature. And he has been enlightened with all the knowledge of the nature of all things. And when Allah says, وَنَفْسَوَهَا فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, so there's a natural conscience in our souls. There's a natural conscience. The فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, simple expression, is that who knows what is beneficial for it and who knows what is harmful for it. Who knows what is beneficial for it and who knows what is harmful. All of us are born with that. That's what we were born with. And the Prophet reemphasizes it where he says, that everyone born is born al-fitr. They are born on the original design and pattern that Allah intended for them. He said, look at the animal that comes forth from the mother. Do you see any defects, deformities, or brands on it? No, they're perfectly fit and sound. It is their parents. And when you understand that word, it's the culture that make them Jew, Christian, Magian, or otherwise. So the point is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, I created you. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. I'm emphasizing these things as they come, but then also I'm emphasizing it to say, do not buy into any statements about you as a human being that says you are, quote unquote, imperfect by nature. All right? I know definition is a tough thing. Words is really something. What do you mean? We're not imperfect. What do you mean? We're perfect? Well, yeah, as a human being, as you were created, yes, you are a perfect human being. But as a perfect human being, you have khair and shar. As a perfect human being, you have things that you do that are good, things that you do are bad. Perfect. Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you go to him for the forgiveness for the things that are outside of your quote-unquote ideal state, which is the intention to be, to sin, to not to be sin, to sin less, okay? So, okay, where does the jinn come in? The jinn comes in as for us in our human condition, beginning to understand, why do I do wrong? Why do I do wrong? The answer to that is your jinn. That's the answer. Your jinn. Your best self is not the one that wants to do wrong. Your self that's under the influence of a jinn will cause you to do wrong. All right? So let me give you something that's easy to carry and hold on to. Most of our sins are from our jinns. Okay? So go back to the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith. He said, and you too, O Messenger, you have a jinn? He said, yes, but Allah helps me. We can't overcome our jinn ourselves. We need Allah's help. And that's what Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, where he says, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. وَمَا أُبَارِيُ وَمَا أُبَارِيُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَارَةُ بِسُوءٍ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي إِنَّ رَبِّي غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ Allahu Akbar. صدق الله العظيم. So much to say. I have to resist temptation. But it made me think about that commercial. Let's stop here. Most of our sins are from our jinns. Which jinns? The jinns that we are not in control of. All right? How do you get control of the jinn? You get control of the jinn by the help of Allah. Okay? Let's make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ash-shifa. He is the doctor. And he's telling us how to heal our particular human condition. And so therefore he gave us a prescription. Kutiba alaykum, take two of these and call me in the morning. You got what I'm saying? Kutiba alaykum as-siyama kama kutiba lil-ladhina min qablikum. Fast, and you will gain greater control over your jinns. You ain't got just one now. Don't. Oh, yeah. There's a jinn for every urge to do something you ain't got no business doing. It's funny, but it ain't no joke. Because that jinn will tell you when you leave, oh, man, what are you talking about, man? Shoot. No big thing, man. I know how to go. And that's the jinn walking, you and the jinn walking, having a conversation. Yeah, man, you ready to go do that, man? You ready to go do that? Yeah, let's go. But during Ramadan, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, for the believer who fasts, that jinn is put in chain. Those jinn are put in chain. It's not, listen, I'll put it this way. Face it. Very important to face it. Don't be in denial of the fact that you are susceptible. You remember, you is me and me is you, all of us, we're together. You're susceptible to behavior. And we don't even have to talk about, we don't have to talk about big sins, quote unquote major sins. We just talk about backbiting, slander, envy, jealousy, lies, just those kind of things. What is that? They are jinn generated. Your lies, our lies, jinn generated. So when Ramadan comes, our jinn, that's what's being addressed. Our jinn is put in chain. But everybody's jinn is not put in chain. That's why that jinn would drive up in our driveway and try to steal something out of our car. That jinn ain't fast. Ain't fast. So all the other things that go along with that, so then to understand that is to understand that it's a prescription for you. And what happens in Ramadan happens to you. And the benefit from the prescription that Allah has prescribed, it benefits you. Okay? And coming out of it, if inshallah we have lived it out and practiced the way that Allah has ordered it, we're going to be stronger. And then we're able to have our jinn more in our service as opposed to us being subject to the jinn inclined to the wrong influence. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Oh Allah, give us the excellent things in this world and save us the excellent things in the world to come and save us from the chastisement of the fire. Ameen. Ameen. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So it's critically important to understand that carnate is different from innate. Carnate means it's not in our human nature, but it comes with the dynamic operations of every human being in life. The jinn is connected with our life, just like exhaust fumes are connected to an engine as it does its work. Those emissions are not the intention of the engine, but they are an inescapable part of its operation. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Adam, his wife, and to Iblis, get ye down from here all together, on earth will be your dwelling place for a time. You can see that Iblis wasn't in Adam, which is a type of the human nature, but he was with Adam. So that's a part of the human condition. It's all a part of the whole pattern of things. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'la, خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَقَدَّرَ فَهَادَ. خَلَقَ, form. فَسَوَّى, place within a system. قَدَّرَ, potential for evolving from simple to complex. هَادَ, the guidance. All right? Allah has, everything that Allah has created has a place within the system. And everything that Allah has created having a place within the system has a potential to grow from simple to complex. And everything that Allah has created that has a place in the system that grows from simple to complex, it has a role in the guidance of God. All right. So now, when you get a sense of that map, human beings are here, the jinn are here, et cetera. The forces of nature are here, et cetera. So for our life, the jinn is a big part of our life. In that our place within the system, its place within the system has us, we are together. But Allah says, or rather, and Allah says, and the jinn we created before from a fire free from smoke, much, a great deal of explanation comes forward, but I'll give you a simple way, inshallah and Allahu alam. And the jinn we created before. The jinn are the undomesticated impulses and urges, some of which we've talked about. If you want to find a jealous creature, then go to a nursery school and watch children and their toys. Go to a nursery school and see are there any children that want to dominate everything? Are there any children that want to have everything? Any children, you know, they playing with one toy and then the other one got a toy. Not only do they want to keep their toy, they want to take the toy from the child that's got another toy. You already got a toy, but no, I want that one too. And if you start looking like you having fun with your toy over there, then I'm going to drop my toy and come over there to get your toy. So I'm saying that's a part of the undomesticated, unevolved, but natural orientation of human beings. We have to be taught out of that. We have to be educated out of that. We have to mature out of that. Okay? So in terms of that place within the system, this is a part of where, and we can say this now, and inshallah we'll draw towards me, where Yusuf alayhi salatu wa sallam, inna nafsa la amarat, to start with it. Inna nafsa la amarat. When you understand the grammar is very specific about a kind of nafs. It's not just nafs, period. It's nafs al-amarat, the soul that is commanding, the soul that wants to be in charge. That is the soul when it's at the level where these urges and impulses are saying, no, I'm going to be in charge. I'm not bowing to nothing. I'm doing only what I want to do. That's nafs al-amarat. Like the Iblis. So that stage in human terms is like, say it one more time, like just when we cross over the bridge into puberty. Just when we cross over the bridge into puberty. You want to see more nafs al-amarat? That's where you look. And you want to understand, and the jinn we created before, that's also where you look. Because the jinn, when you understand it as urges and impulses that have not yet been restrained and that have not yet been domesticated, have not yet become bridled as a Solomon would do, a Suleiman, as he would do for the jinn that he's working to build something on, he knows how to control that jinn. Self-control is not really what is present in the teenager. In fact, you look up the word rahiq. Rahiq is the modern term applied to the English term teenager. A rahiq, and one of its definitions is one who finds obedience difficult. If you have a teenager, no further expression is needed. One who finds obedience difficult. Okay. Where is it coming from? It's coming from a jinn that hasn't yet been domesticated. The jinn, quote-unquote, sort of comes in with an upper hand on us because by the time those impulses and urges are to be brought under the state, what is called mukallif, to be brought under the state of control, of religious obedience and control, the jinn is already pretty big in us. So the raging hormones, that's the easiest one to get to, but that's not the only thing. But the raging hormones there, now here comes puberty. Here comes crossing over that stage, and then here comes all of that. And that's there before the capacity for management, Adam, before the capacity for management is there, the jinn is already pretty much in charge of everything. So that's the state of nafs al-amarat. Inna nafs al-amarat bisu, it's inclined to do the wrong thing. If you're blessed to have a teenager that's just like Yusuf or like Muhammad ibn Abdullah, you know, from the beginning, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that child is a blessed child. And you are a blessed parent to have a child like that. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them, and we don't know what Allah has planned for them. And I'm not making any facetious statement about that. There may not be children like that, no doubt. I'm sure there are children like that, but they are exceptional for the very reason of their mentioning. They are exceptional. As a general rule, they themselves and we the parents, we are challenged by that reality in them, and it's a part of the human condition. So this inna nafs al-amarat bisu, don't take it as self. It's the self in a particular condition. And it's the self in the condition where there are impulses that are not under the order of God are seeking to take control. And so Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is saying the only ones who have victory over that state are the ones who receive the mercy of Allah. You don't overcome that without the mercy of Allah. And that's what the Prophet said in his hadith. He said, they say, you too, O Prophet? Yes, me too, but Allah helps me. So when the Prophet prescribed, by the grace of Allah through the revelation of the Quran, prescribed fasting for us, he prescribed for us the best medicine for our human condition. And that human condition includes learning how to manage your jinn, which is the impulses, the urges, et cetera, that incline away from what Allah has ordered and toward that which Allah has told us to stay away from. So the restraint in the fasting is, whoa. Well, who are you restraining? You're restraining all of them. And when you restrain all of them for that period of time, then you strengthen your capacity for restraint. So that when Ramadan is over and you have latitude and freedom that you otherwise did not have during Ramadan, then it lessens the effect and the influences of the jinn. You didn't kill the jinn. That was never the plan. If it was the plan to kill the jinn, Allah would have, Iblis done. Okay, y'all go on a bunch of business. I got that. No. When Iblis, now Shaitan, told Allah, let me tell you what I'm about to do. And God said, okay. Good. I'll fill hell with you and everybody that goes along with you. You respite. And that was that. So obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not telling us that it's something to be killed. Otherwise he would have given us the capacity to kill it. So, mashallah. So the point is, a part of the human condition is learning how to manage it, learning how to control it. And the best prescription and the best aid for that is the practice of fasting. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So as not to have to include this in my announcement, I want to invite you, mashallah, for Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr is, we're going to have Laylatul Qadr here. The scenario is going to be quote unquote the same. So for as far as all of the physical distancing and the like, basically same setup and everything here. And I want to share before closing, and hopefully not too long, I want you to hear this and know this. I don't want you, nor do I want myself, to be deprived of the blessings that this is this year. There's no guarantee that any of us are going to be here next year. This month of Ramadan that you have, we have the opportunity to be blessed to live a Ramadan. You don't want the door to close without getting everything out of it that you can get out of it, okay? So to that end, I want to mention some of the beneficial rewards of Laylatul Qadr in Ramadan. The hadith of the Prophet, peace be upon him, it says, whoever prays four rak'ahs after Salatul Isha, the Prophet says he will be rewarded the reward of Qiyam al-Layl. Qiyam al-Layl is praying all night on Laylatul Qadr. So it's saying in times other than Laylatul Qadr, if you pray four rak'ahs, Salat al-Isha, after that, then you will have a reward of Qiyam al-Layl and Laylatul Qadr. And actually, I missed in putting it behind the imam. That's really one of the points. And I hope you do understand, I have no hunger for, man, I need a lot of people lined up behind me to make, no, I don't even have that hunger. Mashallah, it's a benefit to us personally. One of the rewards of Ramadan you can take away. Some of the companions, peace be upon him, they wanted the Prophet, peace be upon him, to keep praying all the way until Fajr. He said, let's pray all night. The Prophet said, whoever prays with the imam the whole prayer, that's understood to be the Nawafil prayer that's after Isha and before Fajr, that is, whoever makes that prayer behind the imam, that's after Isha, between Fajr, so Taraweeh comes right away, but then sometimes Qiyam al-Layl is done in congregation as well. But for us, the simple understanding of it is to make the Taraweeh prayer. When you make the Taraweeh prayer, you pray that, make that prayer. And it says that whoever prays with the imam the whole prayer, you go all the way through it. There are some who join the prayer because their prayer is most certainly longer than when I'm leading it, for sure. There's certain imams they pray, and the prayer is pretty long. And the point is that sometimes people just kind of, okay, well, I'm going to do four tonight, and then I'll make up the rest of them at home, because they are nawafil. And also, you know, but then there's those who can you go all the way with whatever imam you're following, and you go all the way with them, then you get the credit as though you have prayed all night. Whoever prays with the imam the whole prayer until the imam finishes, Allah will bless him with the reward as if he prayed the whole night. See, when Islam is said of it, Allah says, "Mamtu alaykum ni'ma." I've done a favor for you. Allah said, "Let me do you a favor." Ad-deen as-samih, and the religion is easy. God is saying, look, it's easy. Come to prayer, make the whole prayer behind the imam, go on about your business, you got credit for the whole night. I don't know. This last hadith, well, two more, where it says, whoever prays Isha and Fajr in Jama'ah, it is as if he prayed the whole night. Okay, so Layla al-Qadr, say, well, no, I'm not going to stay all night. Layla, I've got to go to work. I've got to do blah, blah. Fine. Come pray the Isha. Go home, do what you got to do. Come back. This is any night with them. But come back, Fajr, and it's as though you prayed the whole night. How many actual prayers did you make? You made the Isha, and you made the Fajr. All the time in between, you were doing, living your life as it was. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month is giving you credit for all night. And so to conclude this, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these are just, we have over these four khutbah where we talk about reminders, and this is only scratching the very surface of the rewards of fasting in Ramadan. But enough has been said to understand how powerful, how important this hadith from the Prophet is in light of all the possibilities that Ramadan alone offers. There's no other month that offers for an ibadi, for a believer, for a servant of Allah. There's no other month that offers what Ramadan offers. None of them. So the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if any Muslim comes out of Ramadan without gaining forgiveness and goodness, he is a real loser. He's like, how you come out of Ramadan, you didn't get no forgiveness and you didn't get no goodness, and everything about it was for that? You're a loser. So we don't want to miss any of these great blessings. You can't catch them all. They're just too many. You know what I'm saying? It is $100 bills for all that this building right now, and I'm going to try to catch them. Am I going to catch all of them? No, I'm not going to catch them, but we need to see Ramadan that same way. Allah is dropping blessings. Allah is dropping blessings. Ain't no sense in trying to look. Is that 100? Is that a 5? Is that a 20? Is that a 50? Hey, man, you better go. Just get them. Count them later, even though they're countless. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Allah, let not our hearts deviate now if your guide is the right, and grant us mercy from your own presence, for surely you're the granter of bounties without measure. Allah, we thank you for blessing us to live, to see, and practice another blessed Ramadan. O Allah, bless us to earn from it everything that you have promised, because we know your promise is true, and you never break your promise. O Allah, we know that you have made this way of life easy for us. O Allah, bless us to embrace the ease of this way of life. O Allah, help us to learn more about what you have revealed to us through and in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bless us to understand how the religion is to be applied in every facet of our life. O Allah, bless us to be aware of ourselves in all of our various dimensions and in all of our various ways. Help us and bless us to control and manage our urges and our impulses and direct them in the way that you would have us direct them. Bless us to become better servants of yours, more regardful of all matters in the manner that you would have us to regard them. We beg this of you only, for none can grant it withhold us but you. We pray in your name for Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. We pray that your prayers, your peace, and your blessings be upon him forever. We pray that you would bless us to know him in that day when we are questioned. Help us, O Allah, because without your help, we have no help. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Alhamdulillah, just a couple of announcements and then we're going to go. The Islamic studies classes, they are ongoing Saturdays 9 to 11. The ANAS Children's Islamic Studies Program, Islamic Institute, the Children's Islamic Institute Children's Program is ongoing. also, the business loan program is ongoing. Ramadan Eid 2021. What we want is, without getting into the calculus of the idea, that by my count, Eid would possibly be, based on the way that we started, Tuesday was the first night, so possibly Tuesday or Wednesday coming. Possible. We still keep looking and waiting for the signal. That's in the week to come. So the to-go iftar is going on now, and pickup begins at 6 p.m. Tonight, Sister Samia is the host for the iftar, alhamdulillah, and tonight and tomorrow night. So that's 7 and 8. And then New Africa Kitchen will be the host for the iftar pickup meals on the 9th. So that's Monday. As I mentioned, Tarawih, inshallah, is what did I say? I said Monday, okay. Sunday. All right. So now, there's remaining Ramadan session. I hope some of you caught the Ramadan session that we did on Zoom on yesterday. So we look forward to completing that series on tomorrow, 1:30 to 5 p.m. The Quran is for worship, thinking, and service. It's myself, Teacher Zainab, Sheikh Abdul Rauf, and Dr. Abdul Zaid Abdul Karim, alhamdulillah, all presenting on and continuing on the subject matter that they shared with us on yesterday. So inshallah, be there 1:30 to 5 on Zoom. You can get the access information from the newsletter and also from anyone else who may be in contact with that. Also, Laylat al-Qadr begins at Maghrib Sunday for us. So the Isha is going to follow, the Tarawih is going to follow the Isha. And it's going to be both in person and online in terms of khutbah. So you can come through here or also join us online, 10 p.m. Pacific time. And my khutbah, I've decided on a title. The title is The Night of the Power of the Significance of the Power of the Tongue. The Significance of the Power of the Tongue. It's very important. You can look on YouTube real quick when you have a chance. On YouTube, I did a 10-minute presentation that was really sort of like a precursor to the Laylat al-Qadr. So on YouTube, look it up under my name and then put in the power of the tongue. Inshallah, you may find it. It's hosted by Bay Muslim Media. So it'll be on Blog Talk and also be live streamed on Facebook and also on Vimeo, inshallah. So we're speaking the Hilal of Shawwal on the 29th day of Ramadan, and so you can call us 9:30 p.m. to confirm if or when there's been a sighting, inshallah. Congratulations anniversary, Hanif and Tawheed Abdul Rashid, mashallah, from the second and fourth, and I believe I see Wali there. Your father passed away last week, was it? Yeah. What was his name again? Omar. Passed away. Inna lillahi inna ilayhi raji'un. Our sympathies to you and the family. Also, birthdays: Abdullah Sabir, Isa Shamsi Shahid. Say that fast, sometimes. Rashan J. Chapman. Alhamdulillah. Also, men's group tomorrow, conference call, sisters, I have another presentation, sisters, halakha, group halakha And inshallah, I don't have the information. I can just dole out right here, right now. But if you're interested, just hit me on email, sabila@aol.com. You can get the details. It's a presentation to Sister Halakha Group in Detroit for Mother's Day. our condolences to the family of Imran Naji ibn Ismail al-Jihad, who just passed from this life, I believe that was the day before yesterday. Inna lillahi inna ilayhi rajiun, 20 years old, actually, also. And to Allah we belong, to him is our eventual return. There will be a janazah today, actually, at 5 p.m., the Greater Sacramento Muslim Cemetery in Sacramento. If you want address and details, we'll give you that. And also, there's an iftar in honor of Imran directly after the janazah in the Islamic Resource Center, at the Islamic Resource Center. We will have, after we make the Salat al-Jum'ah, we will have janazah al-Ghaib for Imran after we complete that. With regard to the Eid al-Fitr, we still want, and the great plans and great pieces are put in place for our children's Eid al-Fitr, and it's always 100 giving 100, so that we can assure that we have in the best possible way, mind-blowing experience for our young children. Go ahead, Latif, Amina. Oh, sorry, I'm sorry. Yeah, right, thank you. So then at 11, yeah, the khutbah is going to be at 11, yes. So the Isha is going to come in at the time that Isha comes in, and then at 10 o'clock Taraweeh, so there'll be a little delay between the Isha and the Taraweeh. And then but after the Taraweeh, which normally ends around 10:30-ish or something like that, based on that count, then 11 o'clock we'll have the Laylatul Qadr khutbah. Go ahead. Okay, so you have some flyers that announce about the Zoom. It's inside the announcement sheet. So if you want to participate in the Zoom for Imran, you can get the information after we leave here. So inshallah, hopefully all that is clear. If anything is not, then just we'll speak after. For now, wa akimus salah. Oh yeah, Eid Sadaqah, thank you. The Eid Sadaqah is still $10. So and we should say, thank you, what is the purpose of the Eid Sadaqah? The purpose of the Eid Sadaqah is to cure any imperfections in your salat. Don't think about it, you know, that's the jinn. I'm watching out for the jinn, right? It's like, yeah, oh, they're just trying to get some money. No, you give that in order to cure any imperfections in your fast. Just like if you make a mistake in the prayer, then you make the sajda south. And the sajda south is to cure the mistake that you made in the prayer. Now, if you don't think you made any mistakes in your fast, then you don't even worry about it. You know I'm being facetious, right? So $10 is to cure the defects in your salah, in your fast, inshallah. Wa akim as-salah. لا إله إلا الله سيدنا محمد رسول الله توفيقنا. Make our roads straight. That was the emphasis of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Don't let your heart be bothered by not touching, because the soul is bigger than the space that your body occupies. So we are all connected in soul, which is the most important. But the line should be straight. So you look to your right, to your left, and seek to be lined up with whoever's in that attitude. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. الحق متكافر حتى زرتم المكابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترعون الجحيم ثم لترعونها عين اليقين ثم لا تسألون يومئذ عن النعيم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلا ربك فارغب. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. ذكر الله سبحان الله. الحمد لله. الله أكبر. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العظيم. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. الحمد لله تقبل الله. الحمد لله. So we're going to do جنازة الغيب for Imran. Inshallah. So just you can stay in the same position that you're in now. And it's comprised of four parts. The first part, the declaration of Allahu Akbar. And then you start the beginning of the prayer the same way that you would normally. In your prayer, you would have the tahiyyat and then, the beginning, the ta'ud, the beginning and al-fatiha. Then after the next takbir, then it's the Salati Ibrahimiyya. That's the second part. And then the third part, it's a global dua just saying you bless those who are present, bless those who are absent, bless the living, bless the dead, bless our young, bless our old, those who you cause to live, bless them to live as Muslims, those who you cause to die, bless them to die as believers. And then you'll hear the fourth takbir. So first one is how you begin your prayer through Al-Fatiha. Second one, Ibrahimiyya. Third one, what I just said. And then the fourth one, in that fourth one, that's when you pray for the deceased. So in terms of that dua, and we ask Allah's protection from it not becoming a fitna, that we not be deprived of their promise, what Allah has promised them, for Allah keeps his promise, and oh Allah bless us and bless them. That's a part of it, but the bottom line is in that fourth portion, you're praying for the deceased, okay? Imran ibn Ismail Bilal, but Imran, mashallah, I think Allah did it, inshallah. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله May Allah forgive me shortcomings and grant him paradise. May Allah accept it from us. Assalamu alaikum. I'm letting go of the top.